Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking here at verse number 11, which says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Now we've been looking here at some things that the Apostle Paul has been saying about the Godhead, talking about specifically here God the Father and God the Son and their role related to the members of the body of Christ in this dispensation, the things that have been done for us to be able to give us our positions as members of the body of Christ. Understanding that all of this starts with the fact that we've put our trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that work gives us our eternal life. Now, when Paul starts talking about some things we left off related to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see how there's a discussion about what has been done for us. If we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we're going to see here the responsibility that we have all based on what has been done here. We're going to start here at verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read down through verse number 21. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now verse 21 talks about the reality of what has been done for every single individual, is that the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, that sin being the transgression of the law, the sin that would keep someone separated from God for all of eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, so that way we could receive his righteousness. This is why the scriptures over and over again talk about the issue of the fact that sin has been taken care of. You know, the gospel mentions that Christ died for our sins. Romans chapter 3 talks about how the sins that are past have been taken care of. This is said over and over so that way we can understand that we have this already taken care of, that we have his righteousness, and based on the fact that we have his righteousness is why we are given that responsibility to do the things that are said, you know, in verse 18, where, you know, given to us is the ministry of reconciliation, the responsibility to carry forth this message, preaching it to individuals. You know, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, specifically given us that gospel message, the information that we need to preach, that we are given this responsibility of being ambassadors for Christ, that we are his representatives here on earth preaching this message. That way individuals can have this understanding of, you know, what has been done, can receive the salvation that has been given to mankind. Because this salvation, God wants all mankind to be saved. God wants everyone to accept this message. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to, but God wants all of mankind to accept this message. Now, we see that when Paul talks about the things of those who have accepted this message and have this, that Paul says something that really causes some confusion for people. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, because we're going to see how he describes something here. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18 here. It says of Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, earlier in the chapter, you saw how Paul wrote about the issue of that we have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he's talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ, he has an inheritance in us. You know, and that sounds strange to a lot of individuals to really think about the fact that he's getting something in us that could actually be identified as being an inheritance. But we see how Paul's going to describe this here, continuing on in this chapter, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Apostle Paul describing how there's these positions in the heavenly places, these principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and how all this has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our inheritance. We will be filling those positions in the heavenly places as we rule and reign with him for all eternity. That is what has been promised, you know, going all the way back to before the foundation of the world. This was the plan that the Godhead had put in place. You know, so this is not something that was brand new that, you know, God just came up with as he was, you know, giving the Apostle Paul the information that's recorded here in the book of Ephesians. Before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Before that, this whole plan that we're reading here in the book of Ephesians, all of that was already determined. It was already laid out. It was just kept secret and only revealed to the Apostle Paul, so that way he could give this information to those who are going to be part of this program. Because it would not have made any sense to have revealed this information to the nation of Israel, who are not going to be part of the heavenly places, because their promise was a kingdom here on the earth. So the information being given to them was related to their program. God always gives the information to people related to the program that they have. Now let's go over here to the book of Colossians. We're going to see some more things that the Apostle Paul saying about things related to the Lord Jesus Christ here. Now we're going to see here, let's read verse in chapter 1. We're going to read verse 27 here. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we've talked before about how when the Apostle Paul uses that term, you know, talking about, you know, this mystery, or talking specifically about some things related to a mystery that's part of the mystery program, that he's going to define what it is. And that's why he says the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And then he actually defines when he says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is in us. You know, this was something, again, that Israel did not understand. From them, you look at how in Matthew chapter number 1, when it talks about his birth, that one of the names given to him was Emmanuel, and he interprets it and says, which is God with us. So the fact that God was going to be with them, you know, kind of next to them, at the, here it is, you know, Christ in us. You know, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ next to us. He's actually in us. That's why Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, talking about the life we're living, that's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. And that's how, if we're going to be pleasing unto God, is that we're going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us. Now we see how Paul describes, continuing on here in the book of Colossians, if we turn one chapter over here to chapter number 2, you see how he describes us here in verse number 10, when it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So this description of us as the members of the body of Christ is that we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it, all these things, this is such a glorious thing to be thinking about, you know, what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. That's why you see the thing of, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, to where you see talking about, you know, and he's going to describe the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ here. We're going to start here, verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory over the law, over sin, over death, and we have that victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We did nothing other than put our trust in the gospel message to be able to have this victory. You know, and that's such a glorious thing of what he has done. And Paul has, you know, kind of keeps reminding people of the fact of what has been done for us as the members of the body of Christ. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter number 5. So we'll see here, again, an issue of what has been done for the members of the body of Christ. Here we're going to read here verse number 25 of Ephesians 5. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So Paul here reminding individuals of the love that has been demonstrated for us by the fact of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. You know, that's the love that motivates the members of the body of Christ to be following the doctrine, to be doing all the things that have been laid out. This is the love, if we turn over to Romans chapter number 5, that we see the Apostle Paul making a reference to here. And in Romans chapter number 5, we're going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 here. It says, "But for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the issue is that when mankind was completely opposed to God, that Christ died for individuals in order to give mankind a chance to be able to have fellowship with God. And that's a demonstration of the love that's being shown for us. And he talks about how, you know, individuals, you know, are going to, you know, if they, you know, for a good individual, they might die for them for thing, but it's a true demonstration of that love. Now, we see some things actually written, you know, not only from, you know, the perspective of the Apostle Paul, but there are a few things that we're going to look at here related to how Israel saw some things related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter number 2. Now, we know that the book of Hebrews is written to the nation of Israel just back based on the fact that it's identified as being Hebrews. But let's read here verse number 11 of chapter 2. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." So here the author of the book of Hebrews is making a reference here to the issue of the sanctification, of being set apart, that comes from what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. And you see how, you know, the early part of the book of Acts shows the rejection of, even, you know, because they didn't even understand what the cross had accomplished, that they were still focused on the fact that Israel had killed the Messiah because that's what had been revealed unto them. You know, they didn't understand that the cross was necessary to take care of the issue of sin, to be that sacrifice. And that's where you start seeing the book of Hebrews actually making those references to them so that way they can have that understanding. Well, let's go over to the Gospel of John. We'll go to John chapter number 1. You know, the Gospel of John, you know, is related to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, where Matthew shows him as king, Mark shows him as the servant, Luke shows him as in his humanity. John looks at him from the deity aspect. And you see in John multiple references to the fact that he is God. And it starts even from the very beginning of I think we start right at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Gospel of John starts with the issue of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that he's been God since the very beginning, that the Lord Jesus Christ was involved with the creation of the entire, you know, of the heaven and the earth. So there's these things of where this kind of keeps being brought up, you know, so that way they can have this understanding of the fact that he is exactly who, you know, all the prophecies have been pointing to. They would have had this understanding. You know, this is why you see, you know, several times in John that he refers to himself and talks about how, you know, I am. You know, in fact, let's go over to John chapter number 7. And we're going to read here and think of, you know, we'll start here, verse number 25 of John 7. It says, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye not know. For I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man lay hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. So he's declaring himself to be the Messiah. You know, you see that he actually identifies himself and, you know, and says, you know, let's turn over to chapter number 8 of John. And we're not going to read this whole discussion that goes on here. We're just going to focus on the very end of John 8 because, you know, here we're going to have him declaring himself to be God here. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know, they understood, you know, not that he was God, but they understood the issue of that he was declaring himself to be God when he used that phrase, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, because in Genesis through Malachi, you see how that term, I am, is used of God. So when he says, I am there, they knew that he was saying to them that he's God, and they're rejecting the fact that he's God. And so their viewpoint was that he was a blasphemer, and that's why they picked up the stones to cast at him, because, you know, they were not going to accept what he was saying. You know, what he was saying was the absolute truth. It was just their failure to actually understand what was being said, and their failure led to the continued problems that they had based on that rejection. Now, next time we'll continue on looking at, you know, this verse here. We're going to, you know, leave the discussion about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to continue on with some of the other things that the Apostle Paul says here. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on anything on our website, anything on our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.